family? Guys, it's so good to be home. I know I was here last week, but it's so good to see all your beautiful faces. I mean, really, wow. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us. Thank you for doing a great work in me and giving me a message to share. Thank you for an encounter with you, Father. So, guys, I went to worship you and at Bethel Church in Reading. In case any of you don't know, I went there for 2 weeks. It's a school of worship. It's very intense, like 9 to 5, or actually, okay, 10 to 5. 10 to 5, and then some evenings we had classes too, different sessions with different speakers, all amazing and incredible. I went with no expectation, so I thought. I thought, well, God, I don't know. I mean, I grew up with this. I have the wisdom with me, you know? See all that gray hair? It's wisdom. I grew up in a home of worship. I grew up in a home of love. And so, I don't know. What do I need to learn? So I went and I just said, you know, I'm going to learn. I'm going to worship. I'm going to just receive whatever you want. And so the first day I was walking up to the church and I was really excited. I even took a selfie, like kind of hiding, and sent it to my sisters and my mom, like, I'm walking up to Bethel. But as soon as I got in line to check in, it was like all the way around the sanctuary and around the other side. It was long. I started feeling alone. There were about 700 kids there, students, not kids. There were about 700 students there, and I started feeling very alone. Going to Bethel was really stepping out of my comfort zone. I've always been with my family. I lived in the house I grew up in until I got married. I very rarely go away, and so I felt very alone. I felt so far away from my family. I'm gonna start crying already. And I saw everybody talking to other people and meeting new people and laughing and sharing stories. And I was like, well, nobody's talking to me. And I was like, not talking to anybody either. So, you know, but I just was like, nobody's talking to me and they're all having fun. God, why did you send me here? So it was really, the first day actually was very, the sessions and the worship were incredible. It was amazing. But I got back to the house we were staying at, and after I got the phone with my mom, I bawled my eyes out, you guys, and I said, I don't want to go back. I felt so alone around so many people, and I didn't get it. I'm like, God, who comes to Bethel and has a hard time? Because the following days, I felt like I was having a really hard time every morning. Every morning I would get ready and be like, God, I don't feel like I belong here. I feel so different from everybody when we're all there for the same thing, you know? But during the worship times, we had an hour and a half of worship every morning. Oh, be still my heart. Oh my gosh, it was beautiful. It wasn't just a show. No. It wasn't a show. It was deep, deep worship for the Lord. And every morning, the Lord spoke to me something different. And I realized as the first week went on, I think it was the middle of the first week, I felt like during worship that my heart had been baptized in his love like I had never, ever known before. I mean, like I said, I grew up knowing in my head that God loved me. I grew up knowing that I was loved by my family and my friends. I grew up knowing that all the stuff in my head, you know. And I think at some point in my life, I let the enemy lie to me. And I let his voice become the voice that I believed. The voice of the accuser. He stole the truth from me because I let him. I let him. And so God showed me how much he loved me. And the one morning, I was reading in, I have the Passion Translation, guys. This translation has changed the way that I read the Bible. It is like a whole new world. I'm like in love with the Bible again. So I was reading. One morning I had a few minutes before the session got started, and I was reading in Luke chapter 8, and I'm just going to read a little bit to you guys about the farmer that went to sow the seeds for the harvest. Excuse me. So, let's see. Chapter 8, verse 7, or verse 6, some fell on the gravel and thought it sprouted. It could not take root. It withered for lack of moisture. Verse 7, other seed fell where there was nothing but weeds. It too was unable to grow to full maturity, for it was choked out by the weeds. Yet some of the seed fell into good fertile soil, and it grew and flourished until it produced more than 100-fold harvest, a bumper crop. I like that, bumper crop. And so I was reading this, and I started writing all these notes on the side, which I sometimes write notes, and I look up words and stuff like this, but this was different. The Lord is really speaking to me through this. And I wrote things like, what is in your life that is choking out the good seeds? What are the weeds in your life that are choking out the seeds of the kingdom? Pull those weeds. Do whatever you can to get rid of those weeds. Make your soil fertile by spending time with God in the presence. Let the rain of his presence wet the soil of your spirit so your garden can flourish. Oh, like how he originally intended the garden to be when he first created the earth. So then I read a little bit further on because they wanted Jesus to explain this. So he said, here then is the deeper meaning to my parable. The word of God is the seed that is sown into hearts. The hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men who hear the word of God, but the slanderer quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. At that moment, I realized that I let the slanderer take those seeds, and they were just blown away by the wind. Had I truly experienced salvation? And then it goes on to say, the seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially respond to the manifestation with joy, which I have done, but soon afterward, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficulty come to them, they wither and fall away, for they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. And I said, what? Has my faith been temporary, Lord? Has my faith been so temporary that as soon as I get a word from you, as soon as you tell me that I'm beautiful, as soon as you use somebody to speak to me about what I'm called to do, I say, well, I'm not that good. I'm not that pretty. There's other people that are better than me. This was really, really touching my heart, guys. I had started realizing that I was believing all these lies about myself. Actually, I knew that they were going around in my head. You know, every day you get dressed and some days are harder than the others and you're like, try 15 outfits on, you're like, oh, like fat in every single one of them, or this shirt doesn't go right, or blah, blah, you know, I mean, like, it's real life, like, oh, my hair has, like, been terrible for a week, like, honestly, the whole time I was there, my hair was awesome, and ever since, and I've been like, oh, my gosh, this is terrible, so, but in all honesty, I was believing lies about myself, and they would go around, and around, and around, and around, like a broken record. And I knew, like, Lord, I know those aren't true. I knew it in my head, you know, my heart had not received it yet. And so this was only the beginning of what he was doing in me. Every single day, every single day there, the Lord softened my heart. He washed my heart. He helped me get rid of the weeds to prepare the soil. I remember one day he said to me, Meg, you think you're fruitful now? Just wait until you get rid of those weeds. Just wait until you can get rid of those lies and never let them affect you again, ever. Now, I wasn't walking around here like lying to you guys, like I'm so confident. Like, you know, I was living a life of truth, you know, in the Lord. And but there was a part of me that I still hadn't let him take over in my heart. So the beautiful part is this. The seed that fell into good fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. And because I had started breaking off those lies that I had believed, the soil of my heart was ready, and I was receiving the truth deep within my heart. And then it says, they respond by clinging to the word, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. I wrote, wow. I mean, honestly, thanks. Okay, let me gather my thoughts for a second. Let me look at my notes. Holy Spirit, thank you. I had heard a definition of pride that I never heard before. And it's not only thinking of yourself above others, but thinking of yourself below others. Right? I was like, God, I repent, because that was me. There was always, everybody that I looked at was always better than me at something. Always. So I had to repent. Oh my gosh. Bill Johnson says, I think I got this right. He says, you cannot afford to have thoughts about yourself that God doesn't have about you. Yeah. And then I was journaling. These are a lot of my notes when I was journaling there. And I said, no more self-doubt. No more self-disqualification. No more I'm not good enough. Amen. That's what I was walking around thinking, but no more. None of that. You call me beautiful. You call me valuable. You call me valued. You have called me for this. You call me beautiful. You call me valuable. You have called me for such a time as this. And that's each one of us. That's not just for me. That's each one of us. He has called us in our lives at this moment for such a time as this. And we all have a message to share. We all have a voice.
That's right.
What you say is true, God, and truth. And who am I to say, I don't know. I mean, really? I was going, God, I don't think so. What he creates is perfect and true. My goodness. I wrote, in saying to myself that I was below others and everybody was, you know, better than me at something. And saying to myself that I am disqualifying myself for what you have me to do. Our words are very powerful. You know, our thoughts are powerful, but our words are even more powerful. So in saying that, I was totally disqualifying myself for what else God had me to do. Oh my gosh. And in that comes fear and doubt. And in fear and doubt, there is no room for love. Oh my gosh, God was blowing my mind, you guys. a few days later, I was journaling, and as I was journaling about the day and what the Lord was doing for me, I wrote this. This is real honest, guys. Even my family hasn't heard this. This is real honest, real transparent here. Yeah. Father, you have really done some heart surgery on me in the last week, and maybe I'm in recovery mode. Maybe I'm feeling a little weak, and you're wanting me to totally and completely lean into you and your strength, the family you are to me, the father you are to me, the joy you are to me, and the peace you are to me. Maybe, just maybe, I've become too reliant on my family as a safety blanket, a safe zone, safe people to make me laugh and make me feel loved when I have weeds growing in my spiritual garden. And so then I wouldn't really notice them. I love you guys. I really do. But we're funny. We love making each other happy and laugh, you know? I don't know, God, but I do know for sure that I've had heart surgery. You have helped me to tend to the garden of my heart and get rid of a ton of bad behavior and habits regarding the ways I've treated myself. And now I truly and seriously need you to fill me with joy, fill me with your joy, your complete love, your peace, and let you be my safety blanket. I know that we need family and relationships and community of believers who build us up and speak the truth and love to us. And I believe and know that I do have that at home. But maybe, since I've never really left that, I've never really known what needed to be tended to my garden. Or I said, let me rephrase that. I've not acknowledged the way I've treated myself. I knew it. But I never really acknowledged the way that I treated myself and how unloving I was to myself. And also, I've not known how to treat that, how to get rid of it. I mean, I knew to pray. I knew to talk to the Lord and ask him for his help, ask the Holy Spirit to help me. But I didn't know that I would have to say that I would have to give God every part of my heart. I thought I did. I truly thought I did. And I go on in my journal to say, this morning I said to Raj, is this all that God has brought me, all, our whole family, all the way out here for? For me to realize my self-worth, can't he do that at home? And Raj responded by saying, as he does, well, that may be, Meg. But that it is truly, it really is a big deal to love yourself and know your value. He has spent all of our relationship, about 12 years, telling me that I was beautiful and that he loved me and that I wasn't fat. I know I'm not fat, guys, but you know, we have those days. You know, I mean, like, he's told me that for 12 years, let alone my mom and my dad telling me all that stuff my whole life. And it took me going away from my safety zone, my safe people, my family, for God to get me alone in a secret place with him. I felt alone, you know, with all those people, but I think he was keeping me hidden so he could really work on me. I heard all those lies, those things over and over and over, and I'd known in my head that this is the way you see me, and that I'm loved and all that. But now I know it in my heart and I know it in my spirit. There is no doubt. I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm valuable. I know that I'm significant, and so are each one of you. There's no doubt about it, and don't let anybody tell you any differently. Father, thank you, Jesus. And I said, Father, you have the final say and the final word over me, because you created me. I literally feel like I had heart surgery, guys. I mean, Jerry, you know what it's like. Heart surgery is hard. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's life or death. And if I didn't have an open heart, an open spirit going into this, I could be spiritually dead, guys. I could be stuck in that same place, in that same train of thought, you know, that I said all those years. God healed me from shame that I didn't know was there. Like I said a few minutes ago, a little bit ago, God healed me from shame. God healed me from offenses. I mean, the littlest things to the biggest things. I had a traumatic experience happen to me about 12 years ago, and I never thought I would be able to forgive this person. Never. I would ask God, I don't know how. I really don't know how, God. But he gave me forgiveness. He gave me forgiveness. He made my heart whole. I saw a picture of him washing my heart. It was soft. It was pink. It was tender. And guys, I know that stuff happens in life. You know, every day, dumb stuff comes at us. But now I know in my heart, like for real, I know the truth. It's not just something I learned growing up and I let get away from me. I know the truth. I know the truth. Thank you, Jesus. So every day for, you know, a week and a half, it was really hard for me. And I ended up making a couple friends. And the first day I was like, when I was crying, I was like, God, I just want like one or two people to hang out with. Like, seriously, everybody else knows each other, you know. And really, that wasn't the case. They were just stepping out of their box. And actually, he gave me three friends, three heart connections. So I was like, that was a blessing to me. But, you know, I had a hard time getting ready every morning to go. But as each day went on, every single morning, like I said, I would say, God, if there's anything else, I started experiencing more and more healing every day. And I didn't want anything left. I didn't want anything left in me that would make my heart hard and cold and gray. I didn't want that. I'm so in awe, Lord, of the way you reveal more of yourself to your children with such love and with a softness, a tenderness that doesn't harm the soul or crush the spirit. I'm so thankful. God, thank you so much that you love your children so much, that you show us how much we need you in such a loving way that it doesn't harm us. It doesn't crush our spirits. But instead, it makes us turn to you and see your love. Thank you, Father. So, oh my gosh. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything left out. Oh, there's a whole bunch, you guys. Oh my gosh. I have lots of other stories, right, Sandy? Lots of details. But, So one of the last sessions, like classes I had, was a class called Wholeheartedness. And if you guys know any of the Bethel worship leaders, it was with Amanda Cook and Stephanie Gretzinger. And one of their drummers, he also plays guitar, he was in there too. And I mean, really, Amanda Cook only talked for a few minutes on wholeheartedness, and I don't even remember anything she said. I didn't take any notes. But they did this time of soaking in the presence of the Lord where John Paul just played the guitar. And we just sat in the presence of the Lord, and they said, guys, talk to your hearts and see what's in there. Talk to the Lord and ask him, what's in there that you can be healed of? What's in there that you can be made whole from? And I thought, wow, by this point, God, I don't think there's anything else. Like, I don't know. I mean, it was the end of the 2 weeks and I had felt like I'd been through everything. So I was like, well, I'll just sit here and, you know, if you have anything to say, and go ahead. And they said, write, if you felt anything, you felt the Lord speak to you, then go ahead and write it down, you know, in this time. And so I just sat there soaking in the, oh my gosh, guys, it was beautiful. Ugh. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord speak to me. So I was like, maybe I should write that down. So I did, and it turned into this whole, it turned into a letter from my father to me about the process that he had taken me through in those 2 weeks. I'm going to read it to you guys. You are the greatest version of you. There's not another version of you. You are the only version of you and the greatest. I have never made another version of you, and I never will. Stay tender and true, loving and full of me. Keep your heart pure by communing with me. You know how you love communing with your family? Yeah, that's it, with me. I love when we're together, precious daughter. You bring me so much joy, and that brings joy to others. Any parts of your heart that were like a gray stone and even cracked has been made new, brand new, soft, pink, tender, cushiony, and a perfect environment for me to live in. Thank you for responding to me, Meg, to my call for healing, my call for loving yourself. Tend to your heart and teach your precious children to, now that you really know how. Teach anyone who you have an open opportunity how to tend to their heart. It's okay if you mess up or if you're still learning. Use that as transparency to teach others. Thank you for loving yourself. Thank you for loving all of my creation, not just others, but yourself. You love yourself now. You did it. You made it through surgery and recovery. Now tend to it and love the process, because so do I. Love, Daddy God. Guys, I am, I was joking with Shauna yesterday. I was like, I'm a new woman, you know? Like, I told Raj the one Friday I came home, like, I am significant. I am so different, guys. I mean, I'm not a know-it-all by, you know, by far. I have a lot to learn, but I believe in myself. I know who God made me to be. I love myself. I mean, we all have hard days, but I know the truth. I know the truth, and the truth has seriously set me free. Yeah, yeah, yeah. One last thing I have to say is, one day, I don't know if you guys know who Jonathan and Melissa Helser are. They have a ministry called Cageless Birds out of North Carolina. But they're the ones that sing No Longer Slaves, and she like belts it out at the end. So awesome, man. She was teaching on the heart one day, because their Cageless Birds ministry is all about tending to the heart, which was like so perfect for me. And she said, think of your heart as a container. And for some reason, I thought of a mason jar. They're like all the rage right now. So so I thought of a mason jar. And she said, think of your heart as a container for Jesus. He wants to be in there. And so make it nice for him, you know? Don't let other things crowd out what's in your heart, Jesus being in your heart, and the love that he put in there for you. Father, I thank you so much that you show us how to tend to our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you for transformation, true transformation in our lives. Thank you that the love and the value that you have for me, you have for every single person in here. Doesn't matter what age they are. It doesn't matter what we've been through in life. You know it all anyways. It has never changed your love for me. It never changes your love for anybody. You never stop chasing us. You never stop calling our names. Thank you so much for healing, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Wow. Well, I'm going to change it up from what I planned. I feel like I'm supposed to. Thank you, Megan, for your vulnerability. I know how hard it is. If you've never stood up here, you have no idea how hard it is to do what she just did. And it's not about the speaking. It's about her honesty, her transparency. It is so hard. But I honor you for that, Megan, because I know that has to come from a place of love with no fear. And so I thank you for that. I want to tell you of an encounter I had with the Lord when I was on vacation. I shared it with the elders, and it felt really vulnerable to share it with them. And so now I'm supposed to share it with you, which is so much easier, right? I was on vacation, and I was relaxing because I was on vacation. And I turned on some soaking music, like Megan talked about soaking music, and that's just basically music that makes you aware of God's presence, where you stop doing something and you just receive whatever he wants to give you, right? And it was funny because the guy who introduced the soaking music said, you know what, just relax. You don't even have to sing. And I love to sing, but he said, you don't have to sing. You don't have to do anything. Just relax. If you even want to take a nap, that's all right. And I'm like, well, I'm on vacation. Maybe I'll just relax. So I kind of sat back in the hotel chair, you know, and relaxed and was listening to this music. And and within just a few minutes, God reminded me of Roger and Megan's newsfeed and how it always has pictures of their little girl, Lily. And they're always saying things like, isn't she the cutest? I could look at her all day. Love her so much. She's the best. Can't get enough of her. And then they always hashtag it, Silly Lily. And I felt like the Lord said, Sandy, that's how I feel about you. I'm like, what? He said, oh, you should see my newsfeed in heaven. It's filled with pictures of you. And I can't get enough of you. I can't get enough of looking at you and celebrating you. And it's not because you're so great in that what you work for me, the work that you do for me. Lily hasn't worked for her kids, her parents yet, I'm pretty sure. In fact, I'm pretty sure she's demanded a whole lot of work. But they still feel that way about her, you see. And God said, that's how I feel about you. I'm just crazy about you. He said, I even have a nickname for you, like they have hashtag Silly Lily. And he didn't tell me that day, but later, I believe he revealed it to me. My hashtag is Sunshiny Sandy. That's what he calls me up in heaven. Sunshiny Sandy. So, yes, our Father is that good. Yes. Yes, he feels that way about you, too. His newsfeed is filled with pictures of you. He can't get enough of you. He loves you so much. He views you through process and growth, not time, through growth. He sees you that way. And so I just want us to soak in that today. And don't let it be stolen. Don't let it be stolen from you, because probably when you walk out those doors, it's going to be a temptation for you to go, well, that wasn't real. What I felt in there wasn't real. Yes, it is real. You decide that God, what God says is higher than what anything else has said to you. That's not, okay? You make a decision that you're going to trust what he says more than what you trust your own brain to say. Okay, so I just want us to go out in that. God, I thank you for the work that you've done here today. I thank you for pouring out your love. I could just feel your love being poured out on so many people today. I pray that we would walk in that and rejoice in that and stay in that place of being connected to you and believe it when you tell us you really do love us, to believe it. God, we thank you that we make a choice to believe it. and receive it like a kid receives it. Amen.